Becoming a full-time writer can be overwhelming. Join Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon as they help you improve your craft and find your audience so you too can become a career author. This is the Career Author Podcast.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Career Author Podcast. I'm Zach Bohannon, and not with me this week is Jay Thorne, my normal co-host, who all you guys, of course, know and love. I'll explain here in just a second why Jay's not here, but first off, I just want to quickly announce the topic and let you know that today I'm going to be talking about financial tips for the aspiring career author, so I really look forward to bringing that to you. But first, Jay wanted me to let everyone know why he's not here this week. Sunday night, Jay's father passed away. Long story short, Jay found out about 3 weeks ago, actually right before our Night of the Writing Dead retreat, that his dad had terminal cancer. And so for the past few weeks, he's been dealing with that. If you listen to the Writer's Well last week, you probably, Jay, for the first time publicly, without revealing exactly what was going on, he talked about that he was going through some family stuff and then a member of his family was sick. But Jay is not the kind who wants to let that interfere with anybody, or, he's not like a really like I need sympathy type of guy. But he did want everyone to know why he's not here, so that next week's not like awkward for him or anything. So that's why he's not here. He couldn't do the show this week. On top of everything with his dad, he was visiting his dad in Pittsburgh this weekend, kind of saying his goodbyes and stuff. And he was 5 miles away from the synagogue shooting that happened. So, I mean, that was like on top of all the stuff he was already going through. So he just didn't feel like it was in his or our audience's best interest to be here this week. He'll be back next week. And I decided, in lieu of getting a co-host this week to come, a guest co-host, that, is kind of like my way of letting Jay know that I love him and think about him. I just left his chair empty this week, so I'm doing this myself. I'm going to get through this one and, bring you guys hopefully just as good an episode as always, even though without Jay here, I know it won't be quite as good. So, So today I'm going to talk a little bit about financial tips for the aspiring career author. When I get to that, I'll talk a little bit why that's a subject that I wanted to talk about and why it's something that I'm passionate about. As another heads up, I'm pretty sure my daughter got me sick, so my throat's starting to feel a little sore. And I'm going to have to talk a lot. So just bear with me on this one, but we're gonna have a good show. We want to remind everybody that the Career Author Podcast is brought to you by all our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/thecareerauthor. And for as little as $1 a month, you can support the show and gain access to our 2 monthly bonus episodes, as well as so much more. You can become a patron of the show by visiting patreon.com/thecareerauthor. And I'm recording a little bit early this week, because I'm trying to get ahead in case my throat is messed up. So if you have contributed to us since I at another point this week, I'm sorry, but I do want to give a shout out to our newest patron we have as of right now as I'm recording this, and that's my buddy Kit Hollows. Kit's an awesome urban fantasy author, and I've used his covers as examples on Amazon product page makeovers and such. So Kit, thanks a lot for supporting us. And I look forward to hopefully eventually meeting you and sitting down having a drink like we talked about and talking about stuff. So as far as our movie bonus episode this month, I also want to let you know that in lieu of the stuff that Jay's going through and we have Authors on a Train coming up, we kind of had to make a decision because we have to do some recording before we leave. So we're not going to have a poll this month for the movie episode. We just picked one, and we're going to be doing Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which is Jay did the research and it was the best Thanksgiving movie he could find anyway. So if I made a joke to him that, oh, well, we did Halloween movies and we're going to do Christmas movies in December, so we got to do Thanksgiving movies. And I was totally joking because I didn't really think there were that many Thanksgiving movies, but he actually went out and found some. And long story short, this is the one we decide on. So we're going to be doing Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for November. Yeah, you've got some time to watch it. We won't release the episode till the end of the month. But yeah, so that'll be our episode this month. And also, I just want to give one more quick reminder about something I talked about last week. I'm offering this new Amazon product page makeover service. Basically, it's this really similar or pretty much the same thing that I do on Patreon once a month. But I am offering this as a separate service for anyone who, you know, doesn't support us on Patreon but wants to, you know, take advantage of this and have me, you know, do a product page analysis for them or have Jay rewrite their product description, which is one of the add-ons you can get. Or also, if you are a patron, but you don't necessarily want to wait, because there is a waiting list to, and we only do one a month, so there is a waiting list to get your book done. You know, this is a great option for you too, or if you want to get another book done, whatever. But you can check this out over at theauthorcopilot.com/Zach. And you can check all the details there and you can order one of these from me. And I just want to reiterate, you know, this isn't something that I'm looking to scale. You know, this isn't something that I'm looking to do a bunch of. You know, I don't want to spend all my time doing these Amazon product page makeovers, but I have had a lot of people in our core audience ask about this and say that I'm good at it and that I should be doing this as, you know, offer it to people. So what I decided was that I was going to offer it to the people who support us the most, which is all of you who listen to the show every week and kind of know what Jay and I are all about and what we're doing. And so I have no interest in running Facebook ads or doing webinars, trying to get people to do this or, you know, any of that stuff. I just want to help out the audience that listens to us. So, if it's something you're interested in, again, you can go to theauthorcopilot.com/Zach. And then I also want to remind one other thing, that Jay has a really cool, little like first chapter story grid analysis thing that he's doing as well, which you can check out at theauthorcopilot.com/editing. Again, that's kind of not something that he is, you know, throwing out there for everyone to just do. He just wants to kind of give it to our audience. So yeah, so definitely check that out. So yeah, so let's go ahead and move into our ways and hacks this week. And of course, Jay's not here to give you a way, so I am here to give you one of Zach's hacks. So we've got a craft hack this week, and I'm going to keep it really simple this week. And I just wanted to kind of give three simple tips to write faster first drafts. I'm a type of person who I really believe that writing your first draft as fast as possible is the best way to go. And when I say fast as possible, I'm not talking about like word count volume per day. So I'm not saying like you have to write 5,000 or 6,000 words a day. I just mean that like you should really be focusing on getting your first draft done as quickly as possible, because I feel like that you get your truest story out that way and you're not overthinking things. And I just, you know, I think that that's how you, I think that it will help you in the end produce a better book. I know not everyone agrees with that, but personally, that's just my opinion. So I wanted to give just three really quick tips for how I feel you can write faster and better first drafts. So tip number one is don't stop for anything. So when I'm writing a first draft, whether I have Jay with me or not, it doesn't matter. So, you know, in my story planning, of course, I do my outlines and I create my characters and stuff, but inevitably there's going to be new characters that I create as the story's going on. So as an example, using characters, like a lot of times I won't name a character if I'm coming up with somebody right then. I will just put a placeholder name, like Bob or, you know, Peggy or whatever. And I, you know, so I won't, what I'm trying to say I won't do is I won't stop first drafting, think, what should I name this character, go to fantasynamegenerators.com and look up names, which I do. Like, I won't do any of that stuff. I just put a placeholder name, and then either when I go back to do revisions, or a lot of times, like at the end, like at my writing session, you know, when I've kind of hit my words for the day, then sometimes I'll go back then and take a few minutes and come up with a name and quickly do a find or replace and do that. And then, I use that name from the rest of the time out, but I never will just stop in the middle of like my first drafting time where I'm actually trying to pump words out to name a character. Same thing with describing a character. As I've said on the show before, I like to describe characters using actors as placeholders, and I like to use actors in specific roles. So I'll do the same thing. I'll just put in brackets like character description here whenever I first introduce that character, and later on I'll go and figure out what actor I want to use. And usually that I won't even touch until I come back to on revisions. I won't go back like before I do the next chapter and do it or whatever. I usually just wait. It's in brackets. I'm not going to miss it. I'll fix it later. Another thing is research. Like if there's something I need to research that I didn't research up front in a book, there's no way in hell that I'm going to stop in the middle of a draft to go research something. That's something else I put in brackets. You know, again, even if I'm doing solo stuff, you know, with Jay loves doing research on stuff and find out problems. So usually I'll just put in brackets, Jay, you can figure it out, but which he loves, he actually does like it. So I think he says he does, he could be lying to me, but yeah, I don't stop and do research in the middle of the book either. Like I save that for later. So that's tip number one. Tip number two is don't edit along the way. Now I know this is kind of a controversial thing, and some people think this is good. I know that this is the way Dean Koontz writes, but I can tell you that like I might have met one author who does this well and actually produces a lot. So what I'm talking about here is that there's a lot of authors who, before they can even get to the next chapter, they have to edit the crap out of the chapter they just worked on. Like it has to be perfect and good. I won't even say perfect because nothing's ever going to be perfect. And if you're looking for perfection, you're never going to publish anything because it's not going to happen. But they try to get that one chapter as good as possible before they move to the next one. And to me, this totally kills your writing flow. Like, you know, it's so much more beneficial for you just to get your words down. Don't worry about it. You can fix all that stuff later. Like that's the thing you got to remind yourself. It's not like that you're going to first draft it and then it's going to go straight to somebody. So it's not like anybody else is going to see it. Like you'll have the ability to revise the crap out of it when you're done, but get those words out, get them down fast and finish that book. The more obstacles you put in your front of yourself, you know, especially if you're a new writer and you've never actually finished anything, don't put any obstacles in front of yourself. Just turn your brain off and just write the book. Don't try to edit along the way. Don't research. Don't, you know, none of that stuff. So that's tip number two. Don't edit along the way. Just write your book, write your crappy first draft, and then do your revisions. And this kind of ties into tip number three. You know, our friend Rachel Herron, who co-hosts the Writer's Well with Jay, I've been reading her memoir book lately because I kind of have an idea for a memoir. And I read something there today that was just like, it's something I know, but I was like, man, this should resonate with a lot of people. But, you know, basically I'm paraphrasing for her, but, you know, basically understand that your first draft is going to be shit and that no professional writer in the world puts out a book without revising the hell out of it. So like your first draft is not going to be good. I mean, and if you are not convinced of that before you start writing a book, then you might be doing the wrong thing. Like maybe you shouldn't write a book because no one writes a perfect first draft. You're going to have problems. You're going to have typos. You're going to have clunky sentences. You're going to have like, there's a good chance, especially early on, that you're going to have some plot issues or character issues. So just write your freaking book, write your draft. Like it's going to be shit. My first drafts are shit. Stephen King's first drafts are shit. Like it doesn't matter. Like your first drafts are going to be shit. No professional writer in the world puts out a book without revising the hell out of it. So, you know, understand that and just, and use that to, you know, just write the hell out of your first draft. Like just get the book done. So moving on, let's go ahead and jump into the main topic today. So again, the main topic today is financial tips for the career author. Now, before I get into this, you know, total disclaimer, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a financial expert, none of that stuff. So this is not advice or anything like that. It's just, I just want to share with people why I feel like that this is so important. So one of the most common questions that I get from people, as you can imagine, you know, when I went to the Selmore Book Show Summit in Chicago and I got to sit down and talk to some of our attendees, you know, especially people who listen to the show, like the one thing they'll ask is like, man, like, how did you get to be a full-time author? What did you do to get there? And my answer usually surprises people because, you know, I turn around and, you know, I think a lot of people are expecting me to say, well, you know, I wrote like this hit book, or I got 15 books out and built this backlist or whatever. But, you know, I answer their question with a question. And my question is, well, how much debt do you have? And people look at me like I'm crazy. Like, you know, I just asked them like how much they weighed or how much their house cost or something. Like, that is a personal question, but I'm not actually looking for an answer. I'm just trying to elicit that. I'm trying to get that response, like to get people thinking. Because to me, getting my personal finances in order was a huge, huge, huge reason as to why I was able to go full time. Because at the end of the day, the less money you need to make, the less money you have to make. So, you know, if I'm controlling my spending and keeping my bills down, and, you know, the biggest thing is not having debt. Like, I don't want to be paying the bank money and paying interest and stuff like that. Like, if I don't have that, you know, that's a huge, huge weight off your shoulders. And I know that some people are okay with debt, and some people have credit cards. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I don't have a credit card, because I do. But, you know, I'm also at a financial point where I'm able to, like, pretty responsibly use them. And again, I'm not saying people can't, but debt is a huge problem in our country. It just is. You know, and I don't want to get into a big diatribe, but, you know, we don't really do a good job of teaching our kids about money when they're in high school. And then what's the very first thing that we do once they're out of school? We send them to college where they accumulate a bunch of debt, like thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars in debt. And, you know, a lot of kids come out of college never having had a real job and don't know what to do. Like, they have all this debt all of a sudden they have to pay back. So I'm really anti-debt. And, you know, the biggest things that I did before I became full-time was, you know, I got my finances in order. So, you know, I made sure I didn't have any car payments, which I do now. I have a car payment now. Like, it sucks. I hate it. I'm trying to get rid of it. But, I'm a big believer that really the only good debt you can have is like a house payment. You know, credit card debt is not good. Like, car payment's not good. Like, you know, and so, cause you don't, the thing is, like, you don't need to go out. Like, a lot of people tell themselves, like, I need to go out and buy a brand new car cause I need something safe. Well, you can save up a little money and buy a decent car with cash. That's going to be fine and get you where you need to go. Like, it's just, you might not be able to buy it right now and you might have to get something a little less nice, but, you know, at the end of the day, you're not going to have a car payment and you're not going to be paying a bunch of interest to the bank. So I want to specifically talk about, like, how I did this. And you know, kind of the program I use. So I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey and his book, The Total Money Makeover, like, saved my life pretty much. Like, I won't say saved my life, but it made a huge difference in my wife and I's financial situation. So, you know, he's a controversial character to a lot of people. Some people love him. Some people don't like him. Some people don't know who he is. My wife just happens to work, literally, you can hit his building with a rock from the front of where she works. So, you know, he's a Nashville guy, but, has a great national radio show, and I'm going to put his link to The Total Money Makeover in, the show notes, because I think that anyone who's struggling with their money or whatever, like, this is something they can definitely use. But, in this episode, I'm just going to briefly, though, go over his what he calls the 7 baby steps, which are from The Total Money Makeover. And this is really the meat of the book. There's a lot of other really good stuff in there. And, you know, he talks about, like, using cash and not credit cards, which, again, a lot of people don't like. But, you know, none of that type of stuff is in the 7 steps. So, and I really feel like these 3 steps especially are crucial if you're trying to get your finances together to where you can maybe, like, become a career author. So, So let's talk about these real quick. And I'm going to have a link to an article that he has up on his website about this. So, and when I say these steps, that you're supposed to do this in this order. So he's basically giving you, and I think that's a lot of people's problems with their finances is they get so overwhelmed because they don't know where to start. And you kind of try to just put off and avoid it. And because finances are stressful, you know, but this is like a plan that you can use that can really help you out. And it helped me out. I mean, me and my wife got out of debt within months, you know, because of this, using this plan. So the number one thing that Dave Ramsey suggests you should do is save $1,000 for an emergency fund. So put $1,000 aside, like in a savings account, and you do not touch that money unless you have an emergency. So like what constitutes an emergency? Like that could be an urgent house repair or you know, something happens with your car, you know, and you have to get your car fixed, or you have a medical emergency. Like you would not go to this money like, oh crap, I forgot to buy my mom a birthday gift. I have to go into my emergency fund. Like that's not an emergency. And, you know, I think that, you know, if you have loving parents, I think they would be okay if you didn't get them a gift, but they knew you're getting your finances in order. I would hope so. So the very first thing you should do is save $1,000 for an emergency fund so that you can, you know, and honestly, when you get like to a lot of people, it might sound, and because it did to me, I was like, wow, $1,000, that's going to take a while to actually put that aside. But like, once you focus on this and you actually start looking at what you can cut out, like, oh, maybe I won't go out to eat at lunch every day for work, or, you know, I won't go get that latte in the morning. Like, and this is kind of an aside, but like the big thing that hit me with money. And when I realized I really had a problem was when I started writing those things down. I sat down with a piece of paper and I said, okay, how many times a week do I go to lunch? And I wrote it down. I said, how much do I spend? I wrote it down. I added up how much I was spending a month and I was in shock. I did the same thing. Like, okay, if I go get coffee, how much am I spending? And like, you'll get to $1,000 pretty fast. Let me just say that. Like, you'd be really surprised. So I definitely recommend doing that if you're someone who, you know, you buy too many video games or movies or whatever. Like, write that down and you'll see that you're spending money you probably don't need to be spending. So the number two step, once you have your $1,000 emergency fund, you should start paying off all your debt using the snowball method. Now, the snowball method is that you start with your smallest debts, like attack those small debts first. And the reason he says to do that is because you start knocking those out and you're going to get those little victories along the way. And it's going to help you in the long term, like, you know, stay motivated and everything. Because if you go after your biggest debt first, like it's going to take you a lot longer to pay off. You're still going to have these nagging little debts there. And, you know, you're still going to be paying interest on those nagging little debts. So just get those out of the way, you know, pay your smallest one first, work your way up to your biggest one. And that's how you should pay off everything. So after you have paid off all your debts, Dave recommends that you save 3 to 6 months of expenses for emergencies. So this is the point. Once you've got your $1,000 fund, you've paid off all your debts using the snowball method, now you can get some real savings. So you can save 3 to 6 months worth of income for emergencies. And if in this case, if you're trying to become a career author, you know, you could save 3 to 6 months of your income that you make at your day job so that you've got like a 6 month barrier once you quit your job. So basically you'll know I have 6 months worth of income that I can survive on. And while I'm have more, you know, while I'm going full time and seeing how this book income thing is going to be. So yeah, that's super crucial. And like, I think I said this on the show a week or two ago, you know, that was one of my goals is I saved $10,000, which wasn't, I mean, that wasn't like 6 months of my income. I don't think, no, it wasn't. No. What am I thinking? No, it wasn't 6 months of my income. I made more than $20,000 in a year. God. But I saved $10,000 just because that was kind of a number I chose. But I already knew kind of what I was making on my books and stuff. So that was kind of the number. I was like, this is what I want to save for an emergency. So, I'm going to run through the other ones because I do think they're important, but those three are the big three that I think that you should really think about doing before you even consider really, like, I think that if you do those three things, it'll be a lot easier decision for you to decide that you should go full time as a career author. So number four, is to invest 15% of your income. So Dave suggests Roth IRAs and pre-tax retirement funds. Roth IRAs, I know he's, I believe he's really into like mutual funds as well, or I know he is. You know, mutual funds are safe. They don't grow as fast as some other investments, but they're really safe way to put your money in. And again, though, this is after you've done the other three steps. So, you know, a lot of people get overwhelmed with like, I'm not saving for retirement, and they want to immediately start doing it. It's like, well, no, this gives you the plan to do these other things first to get your finances in line. Once you've got, because there's no point in investing 15% of your income into a retirement fund if you're paying a bunch of money to the bank every month in debt. So like, get that out of the way. And then once you've got all your debt cleared, aside from like your house payment, then start investing your money in your retirement if you're not already doing that. Number five won't necessarily apply to everybody, but he says to save for your child's college fund. Number six is pay off your home early. So at this point, you know, like, throw everything extra you have at your house. And then number seven is to build wealth and give. Because he's real big on giving to charity and stuff. So, but that's pretty much it. I really, again, wanted to focus on those first three steps because, you know, I did those first three things before I even considered going full time. And because of that, like, you know, I haven't made, like, I do all right on my books, but I'm not anywhere near I want to be. But because of our financial situation and because of where we set ourselves up, you know, I haven't had to go get another job or we haven't missed any bills or anything like that. So we've been in good shape because we thought about this ahead of time. So, you know, so I hope this has been beneficial to everybody, you know, and like I said, I'll put some links in the show notes to this article and to the book. And just, you know, I want to remind everybody one more time, just to check out everything over at patreon.com/thecareerauthor. You know, go over there. You can support us on Patreon if you would like. If you are already a patron or you plan on becoming one, remember to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles this month, because that's going to be our movie analysis episode. And also, just a little tease, we have some other cool things we're about to announce. We have something that we'll probably announce next week. And then also, we have something really cool, a cool new little bonus coming up for our patrons that we're really excited about. So a little tease there. I'm going to throw that in there while Jay's not here because Jay hates the teases. But I just want to take a minute to just thank you everybody for making it to the end. This was it's a little weird doing an episode by myself. So, especially when I have a sore throat and stuff, but, you know, I just want to say for Jay, that we appreciate everybody's support. We're almost to 50 episodes now and, you know, we love doing this show and, you know, we love all you guys and we love talking to people, to listeners and, you know, we really, really appreciate those of you who, you know, everyone who listens every week. You've listened to the show before. You're coming in new. We just really appreciate it. So Jay will be back next week and we'll have a brand new episode and we will see you guys then. So for Jay Thorne, I'm Zach Bohannon and we will see you guys next week. Later.